Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Before you're seated, greet a couple people and tell them you're glad that they're here this morning. Just find someone behind you, around you. Amen. Destiny, I'm going to have you guys, Destiny. Amen. Make sure you shake somebody's hand. Amen. Glad you're here, too. How many are glad that person next to you is sitting by you? Amen. I want to ask my sons and my daughters, where's Dylan at, to come up here this morning and embarrass them a little bit. I'm going to get down a little closer. No, you come. Where are you going? Come here, honey. Come over here by us. We didn't practice this. I just wanted to take the moment. I did this in the first service too, but I want to definitely do it on the live stream. I don't do this enough. I just thank the Lord for this family that serves God with me. I'm here thankful for this pastoral family this morning. Amen. Obviously, Pastor Mario and Deanza are part of it as well. But my daughters and my wife have always stood by our side in the ministry, and they serve because they want to, not because they have to. And I've prayed for many, many years for these two men. And sometimes I hope they don't think different, but I love them as sons and proud of you guys for the men that you are, how you take care of my daughters. You don't do it quite as good as I did, but very good. Just kidding. No, they do. They both, I love how they give them flowers and open the door for them and stuff. And you know, this is what ministry is about, right? It's having a strong family. And we hope that we're an example to you guys. Try to be as real as possible. But I just want to, you know, thank my wife for standing by me. And hopefully we're a good example to you guys. But I just don't say it enough. Sometimes you don't say enough how much you appreciate people. So I'm super thankful for them and thankful for them serving by our sides and give me beautiful grandkids too. That's an extra bonus. Amen. Would you appreciate them this morning? Amen. Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Amen. And behind every good man is a better woman. Amen. And I'm so blessed to have sons now and daughters serving and helping to build this church that God has allowed us to build. Amen. Once again, I got to meet a few before the service. Let's let all the guests know one more time. They're very welcome. We're glad that they're here. Amen. I was talking to a gentleman over here, Charles, and not to embarrass him, I usually don't do that. I don't usually call people out, but he has such a good spirit. And they found us online or driving by or both. I'm not exactly sure which one, but this is their first time, and he said he's so impressed at looking at our church. He said he loves the diversity. How many know we're blessed to have a diversity in this church? Amen. And I love what he said. He's got a kindred spirit. He said if I go to a church and it's all white people, I don't want to be there. And I just told my daughter that the other day, and I say that all the time. If this church was all white, I wouldn't be here. That's not how a church is supposed to look. This is how a church is supposed to look. Amen. Look around and look at all the age difference and color difference and size difference and culture difference. That's the way the church is supposed to be. Amen? Well, you made it in the rain. How many were enjoying that bass from the Lord last night? I call it God's bass and the light show. I get up in the middle of the night to pray, and it was a powerful light show last night. All those lightning coming through and thunder, and we serve a big God. And how many can say, like that song said earlier, he has been good to us? Amen? How many came to get a word this morning? So there's a few topics in the Bible that are, none are more important than others, but I think some are more key. And there are some certain titles and sermons and principles that I try to tell the guys we need to preach every 3 months. One of them is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how important that is. Another one is on healing, how important it is to believe in healing. Another one is outreaching. Making sure that we're staying in outreach. Another one is the return of Jesus. And different subjects like this are things that need to be brought up. Forgiveness is another one that need to be brought up often so that we can be reminded that these are foundational truths to what we believe. Amen? So that we're witnessing, so that we're ready for the return of Jesus, so that we're believing for miracles, we're full of the Holy Spirit so we can have the power to witness. All these different things that are so important. So you'll hear us preach these things. And another one is one that I'm due for. I try to do these every 3 months. I don't always fall exactly on the date, but I was trying to get what the Lord wanted me to speak today. And I want you to know, when we preach up here, Pastor Mario does the same thing. We don't just grab a book and go, yeah, okay, we'll preach right there. We really seek the Lord. We really try to hear from God, and we try to make sure that the message that we're preaching is what the Lord wants us to hear. How many believe that God does that? That when we come on a Sunday, you're getting what's called fresh word. Amen. How many like bread in here? Anybody like bread? How many like bread that's fresh? Bread is good, but fresh bread is better. So we always pray and labor and try to hear from the Lord. And I was telling my mother-in-law, who's visiting and was at the house yesterday morning, I said, I got to go back upstairs and seek the Lord some more. I ain't got it yet. And that's not good on Saturday to not have it yet. Amen. And I said, I hope he gives it to me before tomorrow morning. Sometimes he has not done that. But I want to talk about giving this morning. It's another principle. Amen. Can I get an amen? Y'all amen to all the rest of them. And one of the reasons this has to be talked about so much is it's an interesting subject, because a lot of people don't have the right view on money, on giving, on tithing, on offerings, on generosity. And how many know today that you slept in a house, an apartment, an RV, wherever you slept last night? It has rent, it has lights, it has water, it has all these things you have to pay. This church has the same thing. And if it wasn't for faithful people like you giving, we wouldn't be able to be here. This same family was very impressed with all the churches that we've been able to start. We wouldn't be able to start churches if it wasn't for people giving and being generous. And so don't shut me off this morning as I say we're going to talk about giving. Open your hearts, because I know that every single one of us in here could use some blessings. How many could use more finances? Amen. I always say, if you're here today and you got too much, then please come see me after. I want to know what you're doing. Amen. But God wants to put things through our hands, and he wants to have the right attitude. So I finally, when I realized that this was what I needed to preach, I sent a thing to my kids and my wife and said, give me some ideas on some titles. I couldn't come up with a title. Sometimes it's hard to get what I'm trying to think. And so they sent me some back. And so I don't think I end up using anything anybody gave me. But I want to share what they said, because I thought this is cool, because this is how they see giving and tithing. So these next few titles are titles they gave. I'm not going to put the name with them. Tithing, more than just giving. Giving beyond belief. Tithing, trust, faith, and honor. Another one is the heart of the tither. Another one is the heart behind biblical giving. And by the way, all the things they were saying was exactly what I wanted to say. I just couldn't get the right words. Blessed are those who give. Another one says, beyond the dollar, trusting in tithing for abundant blessings. Another one says, unlock the power of tithing. And the last one was, embrace tithing for abundance and blessings. All those are good, amen? And at the attitude that we have. So the one I chose was this, and this is kind of the words that I really wanted to put out today, because trusting and honoring God with our tithe is really what it comes down to. Let me know when we begin to tithe and we begin to give. Some, when you come into church, you haven't learned yet to tithe. Most people give. Most people, although some people have to learn even to give. You know, we go to put our hands in our pocket and it hurts. It's like, oh, man. Or we hear the offering and we say, it's time to keep worshiping. I want you to know this morning that giving is worship. And by the time we're done, you're going to have that attitude. Today, if you're here, and when tithing or offering comes up or message comes up like this and you begin to feel a certain way, I'm not condemning you for that. I just know that's not how God wants you to think. Amen? And unfortunately, if you haven't been churched, which is a blessing, if you haven't been in other churches and been churches growing up, then you're not going to have a stereotype or a stipulation or a thought in your mind already towards money. Because what happens is today, like many things, things happen in churches, and there's a lot of people who've been church hurt. So when it comes to these kind of subjects, people have a certain way of thinking because of things that have happened to them in other places. There's no doubt that everything in life that is good is abused, right? And so, for example, when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we talk about speaking in tongues and having a prayer language. Most people, when they hear the word Pentecost or Pentecostal, they erroneously begin to think of people hanging from the chandeliers, doing cartwheels, jumping up and down, shaking, all those different things. That's not what Pentecost is. That's not what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And it's the same thing that happens with money. We hear an offering, we hear a title of a message, and we think, oh, this church just wants my money. That's because someone's told you that and you've had a bad example. God is never trying to get money from us. God is trying to teach us to trust Him with money that is so important, and He wants to put money into our hands, and He wants us to be blessed. And if we have the right attitude towards giving, and we trust and honor God, God will bless us. Is anybody a testimony to that this morning? Let me see your hands. So you can look around and see that you're in the right place. If you haven't seen that happen in your life yet, I challenge you today to listen. I challenge you to take a chance on this, because this is the only place in the Bible where God says we can try Him and see that He's faithful. So I want to pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, exactly where David was at prayer. And I want to remind you that I don't tell the guys that are going to get up to say prayer and offering what I'm going to preach on. I don't tell the people what songs to sing, but we happen to be coming in today, and I said, "Babe, what are we going to sing for worship?" And she said, "The goodness of God." And I said, "Awesome, that's what I wanted to sing." So the Holy Spirit works that stuff out, amen? But David had no idea what I was going to talk about, and he had no idea when he read 2 Corinthians 9:7 that this is the beginning of my message. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It says, "And this I say, he who sows sparingly," so this is a principle, "will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." Now we could go home on that right there. God says that what, according to how and what we give, is what we're going to reap. That's where it starts, okay? Many people today want to have a lot, but they don't want to give a lot. They want to have a lot and do a little. It's kind of the culture that we live in. But unfortunately as well, we have, again, things that are on YouTube and things that are on TV, and we have what they're called televangelists, and we have these prosperity preachers who have given a bad name to the gospel. Church needs money to function. A church needs money. The gospel costs money. And so we have to understand that God has a way of serving His people, functioning the place where people come together by giving. But I want you to think about this as I'm going to read some more in a second. I'm saying a couple things I can already tell are a little bit different from the first service. When we begin to think about giving, if we have the wrong attitude, there's just like a wall in front of us, and we're not going to get anything else. So I challenge all of you today to open your heart to let God speak to you. Amen? But in this area of giving, with these televangelists, these prosperity preachers, there's a lot of manipulation. They would get up and they would say, "You know what? The Lord's telling me today that whoever gives $9.61 or $96.11 is going to get a blessing today." It happens. You'll never hear that here, because we don't manipulate people. And giving is not about manipulation. Giving is about honoring and trusting God with what He has given us. Okay, and I want you to understand that by the time this gets over. So let's keep reading. And it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." Now this is interesting, because how many know that if God left it up to us totally, because in a minute we're going to get into what tithe is. I'm talking about giving, but the Bible actually says tithe, which means tenth. Can you imagine if God would let us choose what we want to give? Now, there's no doubt there's some people in here who would give more than God would ask, but I would guarantee you that most people would give less. If you get your electric bill, can you imagine if your electric bill would come in the mail and it would say, "Hey, pay whatever you feel"? Instead of it saying $96.11, it would say, "Pay what you feel, pay what you have." How many people would pay the full bill? Nobody. Same with water, same with so many things. How many bought a box of cereal recently for $6? And thought, my goodness, this is ridiculous. This is too expensive. But you don't get to tell the store, I'm only going to pay two. Are you with me? So why would it be any different with the things of God? God knew us. How many know? Tell the person next to you, God knows you. Tell him again, he knows you well. One more time, he knows you better than you know yourself. God knew all these thoughts that we would have towards things, and he said, I need to have some kind of a minimum for my people. If I don't, the church is going to be broke, the gospel is not going to be preached, and nothing's going to happen. So in that part where it says, not in purpose in your heart, you got to get your heart right. Not grudgingly or of necessity, as David was saying, but God loves a cheerful giver. How many know here today you have to decide in your heart you want to be generous? Most people are not generous people. Especially in your human nature, we are greedy. You go in that nursery right now, it starts at a very young age. You're not going to have kids going, hey, you want to play with this? Here, this is mine, but here, you play with it. That's not what's going to happen. What do they say? Mine. That's the first big word most kids learn. Mine. Even after you just gave it to them. Mine. And so we have a carnality in us that is very greedy and not generous. How many would like to be generous people? I mean, get a heart of generosity where you actually are more happy giving than receiving. So it goes on to say in the next, you know what, I'm not going to read the rest of that part. I'm going to skip this for this message. I'm going to leave that for there. So write this down if you're taking notes. I do have some things I really want you to write down. Giving and getting the right attitude about giving. It may be the most important thing you do in your walk with God. And I'm going to show you why in a second. So giving, having the right attitude about giving. So we have a safe statement. I know Pastor Mario's used this, pastors use this. It's very true. I know very people who preach the gospel use this a lot, and it's so true. The last thing that gets saved usually with somebody is, can somebody help me? Your wallet or your purse. That's usually the last thing that gets sanctified. Yeah, I got this down, I got that down, and this, that, and the other, but that whole giving thing, I don't know about that. And that's the last thing a lot of times. But what's sad is, with that being the last thing that usually gets saved, it needs to be one of the first. Because we have a God who is a giver. He's not a taker. So the reason I believe it's so important is this. Write this down. Money is spiritual. It is spiritual. Now, people who don't know the Lord don't understand that. They don't understand money spiritual. To them, money's money. But I'm going to throw something out right now that I want you to keep in the front of your head for the rest of this message. How many know that one day every single person who's ever lived on the face of this earth is going to... Do we have anybody translating today for this service? Okay, good. How many know everyone's going to stand before God? And everyone's going to give an account for everything they've ever done. All the rich people in this world who've never given God any credit are going to answer for their money. Jeff Bezos comes to mind. Someone just filthy rich, owns Amazon. You think about Sam Walton and Bill Gates and all these people have all this money. They think, erroneously, and I'm going to show you in a second, they think they've got that money on their own. They'll give no credit to God. They'll give no credit to God being the person who gave them the wisdom to get wealth. But guess what? One day, if they don't change their heart and give it to God, they're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, Jeff Bezos, besides your soul, what did you do with all the money that I gave you the wealth to get? And they're going to have to answer for it. Because everything from God, everything we have comes from God. Now watch this. Here's why money is so important. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, I'm going to read you one of the most misquoted verses in all the Bible. What do you hear people say? People say money is the root of all evil. Have you ever heard that? That's wrong. It does not say money is the root of all evil. So they try to make money bad. Money is spiritual. What money is, when it's wrong, is the love of it. For the love of money... But they skip that. That's why many people misquote the Bible all the time. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So the Bible teaches us here that if you love money, and listen, let me tell you something. You don't have to be rich to love money. You could be poor and have a love of money. You're going to have a poverty mentality and still love money. So God wants us to get our mind saved and our heart saved on money. Lord, for just a few minutes this morning, anoint your ears that are here, the hearts that are here, anoint my words. And Lord, allow me to get out from what you've put in my heart today so that we can have the right attitude on money. Because God, when this service is over, we're going to pray for businesses and jobs and promotions and finances and blessings. And we're going to declare your word over this church, Father. And we're going to see your hand move because we're going to get the right attitude about money. And we're going to understand that everything we have belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Write this down. Tithing really isn't just about money, about dólares or colones or pesos. It's about trust. God said, I want my people to trust me with something that can be the root of all evil. I want people to honor me with their money. I want people to have faith, and I want them to have obedience. When we have a guideline to go by, God says, I want you to, if you make $100, I want you to give me 10%. When he says that from a tenth, which, by the way, started way before the law. Many people teach erroneously today. And listen, you can go to YouTube. Go waste your time on YouTube if you want to. And try to get a hold of those people, by the way. Some people that always listen to YouTube, I don't want to be mean, but maybe you should try calling them for counseling. Those YouTube videos you're listening to. Go call them and see if they'll answer you when you need some counseling. I'm not saying that to be mean. It's just the truth. You're never going to get a hold of those people. They don't care about you. They're looking for followers. They want numbers. They're not here every day like we are. How many know we're here every day? And we're going to be here next week, and we're going to be here next month and next year and 10 years from now, and we've been here for the last 15 years. We're going to be here. So be careful what you listen to, because they'll tell you, oh, tithing's under the law, and they don't even understand the first tithe happened in Genesis 14, which was way before the law. And actually, the first offering happened way before that, which we're going to get into. So people try to say all these things because, you know why? Because they don't want to give. They don't want to give. They don't want to loose from their hands something that is so important to them. But they don't understand that God is the God of all riches. And when you get into God's economy, it is fun to be in God's economy because supernatural, miraculous, unbelievable, unexplainable things can happen to common people like you and me. How many common people do I have in this place this morning? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you lived paycheck. Most people live paycheck to paycheck. But when you serve God, even if you are living paycheck to paycheck, you could be happy living paycheck to paycheck. Because I'd rather have a little blessed than a whole lot not. Can I say that again? I'd rather have a little bit blessed than a whole lot not. But then I'd add to that, I'd rather have a lot blessed than a lot. Right? So, Billy Graham, how many have ever heard of that guy? He understood as an evangelist, he was never a pastor, never had a church. He understood how important money was. He said, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will straighten out almost every other area in their life. How many have ever heard of John D. Rockefeller? He was probably the first millionaire in the United States. Okay, we know Solomon was the first millionaire, but that was way back in the Old Testament. And he was probably, in our terms today, a trillionaire. But Rockefeller was the first millionaire. And listen to what he said about giving and tithing. He said, I never would have been able to tithe my first $1 million if I had never tithed first on my first salary of $1.50 a week. Amen. Thank you for that lonely golf clap, Pastor Mario. See, we see somebody who tithes $1 million or makes $1 million or has a lot of money, and we think, oh, they're just blessed. They hit the lottery. No, they started faithful just like everybody else does in the little. That's what God's looking for. So what is tithe? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I always have to say this. Why do you go to Malachi, church? Because it's the most clear verse in the whole Bible about giving tithe. Okay, there's many, 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 many verses, but this is the clearest one. Just like John 3:16 is the clearest about the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there'll be food in my house, in other words, provision. And look, he says, try me now in this. Try me in this. And see if I won't open for you. Now, this is why I said it's exciting to serve God, because he says, I can open windows of heaven. Windows of heaven. Now, see, God needs you to tap into the belief of that. Now, I'm not manipulating you when I say that. I'm telling you God can open the windows of heaven. Let me ask this question real quick, just to get you somewhere. How many here have ever had money come to you in a supernatural way that was abnormal? Raise your hand. Look around. Look around. Looks like God does supernatural things with money, doesn't he? Okay, so that's what he does. And he has windows. He has, I'm going to show you in a second, he has everything. He says, I'll pour out a blessing on you. There won't be enough room to receive it. How many like to have that problem? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. This is the biggest thing about tithing. When you're in covenant with God, God covers your stuff. When you're not in covenant with God, the devil can have full access to your stuff. It doesn't mean that if you're a tither, you're not going to have to buy tires or fix your engine or get a refrigerator or go to the doctor or have problems. It means God's going to protect you and make a way out of that. He'll provide the money for the tires. He'll provide the money for the doctor. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He will rebuke that devourer so it cannot come and destroy and do more than he was going to do. Amen? And it says he won't destroy the fruit of your ground or the vine won't fail to bear fruit. And then last verse, verse 12. And the nations will call you blessed, for you'll be a delightful land. So simply writing in your notes, tithe is tenth. I want to give you a couple principles real quick, and I'm going to show you the most important thing this morning. Principle one, tithing shows, watch this, that we acknowledge God's authority over our money. This is very important. Again, it doesn't matter if you have a lot or a little. We're not talking about numbers. You could have very little money and have a poverty spirit of greed. Ain't nobody touching my 10 bucks. Okay? You could have that. Or you could have 10 bucks and say, hey, if somebody needs this 10 bucks, it's yours. God gives, God takes away. Okay? So it doesn't matter about the amount. It matters about understanding God and I, or I and God probably is a better way to say it, are partners. Maybe you've had a business partner. Maybe you've invested in something. When you do that, there's things that two can do more than one and all that, and although there's lots of problems and stuff, but imagine having God as a partner in your finances. That God is in control of my checkbook. God is in control of my bank accounts. That's not my, so when the account goes in the red, that's not my account, it's God's. I had that revelation many years ago in the old building when we were struggling and having, how many know everybody struggles? Don't always look at somebody today. Look at them a few days ago, a few weeks ago, a few months ago. Everybody struggles. And the ones who make it through the struggles are the ones who stay faithful. Looking at bills on the wall, lots of bills, lots and lots and lots of bills, lots of behind bills. And I'm looking at it and I'm stressing and I'm getting cold sores and I'm freaking out. And God told me one day, he said, look up at that wall again. And I looked and he said, those are my bills, not yours. That changed my life. That's when I realized that I was trying to do it on my own instead of realizing this is God's church. This is God's money. These are God's people. These are God's bills. And God will always come through. God cannot fail. So I acknowledge that he has authority over my finances. Principle two, it reveals that we believe that God is our provider. This is the key right here. If you haven't gotten anything yet, get this. God is our provider. Everything, write that down. Everything good comes from God. Okay? Now I'm going to show you something that to me, I honestly don't know if I read this, studied this, or if God gave this to me personally. That happens sometimes. I was looking yesterday, it was very hard to find it. Anybody that had said it, it may have been said, it doesn't really matter, but God gave me a revelation several years ago where tithing really started, and it started in the Garden of Eden. Okay, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Everybody knows the garden. This is where life began, right? And I want you to look at, we always talk about the principle of firsts. right? When you see something for the first time in the Bible, God plants a garden. Basically, here's where you're going to live. And he puts Adam there, okay, who he formed. And then verse 9 says, and out of the ground the Lord made trees that were pleasant to the sight and good for food. So let's just use this congregation just to make it simple in our minds here. This is where we live. He says, everything in here is yours. I give it all to you for food, and it's all good. It's all for me. But then he says, and the tree of life is also there, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So it's all yours. Everything is yours. Watch the next verse. And then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Live. Live your life. Everything's yours. Watch this. And the Lord said, of every tree of the garden, you can freely eat. But, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He says, I've given all this to you, but that right there is mine. I believe that's tithe. I believe God gives us everything we need, and he chose to say, this, just like in the garden, this is mine. Don't touch it. If you will let me have that, and you'll give it back to me, and you'll obey that, and you don't use that 10% for you, I'll bless it. Okay? What happened when we know they failed. They failed. They went and ate what they weren't supposed to eat. Today, I think a lot of people are not walking in the blessings of God that God has for them because they're messing with what's God's. God says, I've given you everything, but that's mine. And I believe that that's where the principle started. Amen? Can you see that? So write this down. Everything belongs to God. I've said that to you many times. I'm going to give you several verses right here that I want you to see. And as proof, many verses in the Bible. Let's start in Psalms 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So everything's God's. Deuteronomy 10, 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. Now let me just tell you something amazing as we're reading these verses that says everything's God's. Sometimes we think, man, if I could have a partner like Jeff Bezos, man. Ooh, if I could get a loan from Jeff Bezos. Ooh, if I could sit down with Bill Gates and learn how to get money. Ooh, if I could be famous like them, if I could have money like them. We think that it's carnally. We think if I could just get what they got. Yet here we are talking about the God who owns the heaven above the heavens as a partner in your finances. How about we go to him? He's way better than these other people because he gave them the wisdom to get their wealth, whether they give him glory or not. Does anybody understand what I'm trying to say? It has everything we need. Why would we go somewhere else? He's got as this verse is about to say, everything under his feet. Colossians 1:16. Watch this. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Somebody shout out all things. Were created through him and for him. Through him and for him. Is anybody seeing what I'm saying? Everything belongs to God. Some of you men in here, I know some of the people in our church have cattle, have land, have ranches, have places where they have cattle. It says in Psalm 50, verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine. And watch this. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And remember that in Bible times of the book of Psalms, they didn't know a number bigger than 1,000. That's the biggest they could go. And that's why it says in Revelation, thousands, ten thousands of 10,000s. They didn't know how to count to 1,000,000. So it's not that it's limited to 1,000. When you go by and you go, oh, hey, those are my cattle over there. You should say, hey, those are God's cattle over there that the Lord has allowed me to be a steward of. When you wake up in the morning, you should say, Lord, thank you for that roof right there. And in my case, Lord, thank you for that ceiling fan, Lord Jesus, that is in this house keeping me cool. Amen. You get out of that bed and you say, Lord, thank you for this bed that you gave me. You go turn on the light switch. Lord, thank you for electric to be paid so I can have a light. You go to the fridge and grab some creamer for your coffee. And you make that coffee and you say, oh, Lord, thank you that I can drink some coffee this morning. Amen. Everywhere you go, you're thankful because you realize everything you have, God gave you. And you honor God with everything you have. Whether it's nice or old or new, it's from God. Amen. Everything belongs to God. Watch this. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. I don't know if they got it from the first service or not. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. Now, I think I've just covered everything. From heaven down to the earth, to the cattle on the 1,000 hills, to the gold and the silver. Oh, I got all this gold. I got all this silver. Well, who made the gold? God. Who made the silver? God. So when people say, I'm rich, I did this myself, I made all this money. No, you didn't. God gave it to you. The only difference is they don't give God the glory for it. But remember, one day they'll answer for it. What did you do with all that riches? Because listen, someone again like Jeff Bezos, who has $50 billion, I don't even know what he's worth now. He's probably worth more than that. Whatever he's worth, all that money, he's done whatever he's done. And then somebody over here might have had $10,000 and they've reached souls, given to missions, been faithful to their church, and they're going to have a reward in heaven for what they did with their money. And he's going to have to answer for what he didn't do with his money. Amen? Write this word down, honor. Trusting and honor. Honor, Proverbs 3:9 says, the Lord with your wealth. Now here, let me give you a quick definition, because the problem is some of you in here go like, you ain't talking to me, I ain't wealthy. That's because you don't know what wealth is. Just to give you a little understanding, if you live in the United States of America, you're wealthy. I don't care if you live on food stamps, you're wealthy. If you live in America, you know where your next meal is. That's more than most of the population of the world today. Doesn't even know where their next meal is coming from. Okay? So wealth, to me, let me go a little further. This is my own, it's biblical, but it's my own personal belief. Give me health. Give me health. I don't care about anything. Give me health, Lord. Health is prosperity. Health is wealth. What did Steve Jobs do? What could Steve Jobs do? Remember him? You got an Apple phone? He's your daddy. He's your Apple daddy. Lot of money. Guess what? He died of cancer, a miserable man. Couldn't pay to get his body right. Health is wealth. If you're here and you're healthy, you don't have cancer or tumors, you're not in the hospital, you don't have a terminal disease, you're healthy, you're blessed. That's wealth. Amen? But he says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And with now, once you're focused on this, we begin to close, with the first fruits. Here's where some people today are going to get a revelation. Maybe not, I hope everybody, but not everybody always gets it. But someone's going to get this. And I know I can use Santos, who was here in the first service. He's probably serving somewhere. He came and told me years ago when I preached this, he had never heard it before, and it was a revelation for him, and it opened his eyes up and blessed him tremendously. Most people get to the place where they understand tithe, but they don't understand first fruits. Okay, this is where you go to another level. So you pay your tithes, but what God wants us to see here, when I say first fruits, I'm going to give you an understanding of what that means. It says, with all your produce, that we don't have produce today. Most of us don't have farms and barns and all that. We have jobs and we have income. And he says, they'll be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. When? When we honor the Lord with our finances. Okay? Now, the idea, by the way, just write this in your notes because I skipped it and I don't want to read it right now for time. Deuteronomy 8, 16 to 18. I skipped that in my notes. Because I was talking about Steve Jobs and people who get money without God. It says there, he's the one who gives power to get wealth. So just because they are wealthy does not mean they got it on their own. God gave them the wisdom, but they haven't given God the credit. But he's still the one that gives the wealth. Okay? No one gets wealthy without God. Okay? So I want to show you an idea of this, and I think this is going to make it all come to sense. Genesis chapter 4. This is the first offering in the Bible. How many have heard of Cain and Abel? Most people, when they think of Cain and Abel, only think of the murder. But they don't know why the murder happened. Most people don't think of offerings when they think of Cain and Abel. They think Cain killed Abel, first murder, blood crying out from the ground. But let me show you something. Let me show you a principle here. It says, she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper, and leave this up for just a second. Abel was a keeper of sheep, so he was a shepherd. He had flock. He had sheep. He had animals. Cain was a tiller of the ground, so he was the farmer. He did vegetables and fruits and all that. So one was with the animals, one was with the fruits. They're both working. They're both living for the Lord. They're both God's people. They're both brothers. They're living their life. Everybody with me on that? Okay, now watch what happens in the next verse. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, which is the one who killed Abel, brought an offering of the fruit. Leave this up. This is very important. Brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. So Cain brings an offering. We don't even know. We don't have any verses there to tell us why. Maybe he did it out of his own heart, but he brings an offering to the Lord. He gets some produce. He picks it up. He brings it to him. Verse 4. Abel also brought. Now watch this word here. Does anybody notice anything in this next verse? It's very important. He brought of the firstborn. Some of you guys are going to go, wow, okay, I get this. And of his flock and of their fat. And watch this. The Lord respected Abel. I just want to take time on this. Don't change it quite yet. And his offering, okay? So Abel goes and does the same thing, except he doesn't just get an offering. He gets a tithe. He gets a first fruit. He gets not just the first fruit, he gets the best. The firstborn. And he brings it to God. Notice they're both doing the same thing. They're both bringing offerings. They're both taking them to God. And it said, go back one verse. I don't know if it said that verse. Okay, sorry, go back to 4 again. And then it says there, they both brought, and watch this, the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But watch what he says with Cain. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Somebody's going to get a revelation right there that it's not just about giving. It's about giving first fruits, and it's about giving with the right attitude. They both gave. If you're not going to give with the right attitude, don't give. Don't waste your time. God won't accept it. God does not need your money. He has all the cattle on 1,000 hills. You have money messed up in your mind. God does not need you. You need God. Amen? He's the one who owns everything. I need him. So I want my offering to honor, and I want my offering to be trusting that God, you're going to take care of me when I give this. Okay? So first fruits is the idea that it's the best, the primary, and the exalted. When we say, hey, we're going to continue in our worship, some of you go, hey, when they say that. Yeah, because you don't worship. It's not worship for you. You haven't gotten saved in your wallet yet. You don't thank the Lord that you have something to give. Go lose your job for a little while. Go lose your house. I'm not speaking those things over, but go without for a while and then realize how thankful you are when you have to give. Right? Is anybody in here thankful for text to give? I personally, listen, I'm an old school person. I have my Bible here. I'm very old school in a lot of things, but I'm very thankful for text to give. And our church is very thankful for text to give, because when we started text to give, our finances went up. And it's not because people aren't good people. It's because people forget. And so a lot of times people would get to church and they'd forget their checkbook or they'd forget their money. Oh, I forgot. And then out of sight, out of mind. Oh, get it next week, Lord, because we don't have the right attitude about money. Now that we can text to give, you can get here. Oh, I forgot, but So I text to give. I love text. And so when I get paid on Friday, comes through at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I immediately tithe first. That's what first fruit is. So if I got a $100 water bill and I made $100, I pay my tithe first. I don't pay my water first. That's what first fruits is. Is anybody following me? What you're saying is, God, your money and my honoring and trusting you is more important than the water bill or the light bill. I'm not talking about being negligent. I'm talking about paying it first. Because you know what a lot of people do erroneously? They want to pay their tithe. They have the right heart to pay their tithe. But they start paying their bills. And then they get to the end and they go, oh, I don't have enough money for tithe. Here's a tip, God. And you give $5 when you owe 100. You following me? Well, you know why? Because you did it backwards. And then even if you pay your tithe first fruit and you get to the end of the month and you owe something, you go, hey, God, there's a bill we got to pay. Do you notice the difference? Hey, God, remember on the first when I paid my tithe? Yep, this is yours. It's the truth. And God's okay with that. I've been married for 30 years. I don't say this to boast. I say this except on God. I've been married for 30 years. And 29 of my 30 years, I have not had an employee. I mean, a boss. I've only worked for one person in my entire life. I don't say that to boast. I say that to boast on God. Meaning for 29 years of my 30 years, I've had to trust God to live. Whether it was as a missionary, in my own business, as a pastor, for 29 of those 30 years, I've had to week, paycheck to paycheck, trust the Lord. And I've never seen God fail me in 29 years, in 30 years. Never. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Is this good? It's where our heart is. It's where our thoughts are. And so I want to end with something really cool. God keeps good books. Write that down. God keeps good books. He keeps good books. Now, I want to throw something in that's very important today. I feel it in my spirit. One of the worst things we can do is we can say, you know what, I haven't been doing good on this tithe thing. I've been doing bad for years, so I'm just going to keep being off on it. You can start today. You can start now. That's the mercy of God. You know what? I haven't had the right attitude on money. I haven't had the right thoughts on money. I'm going to start today. I really believe today God's going to change some people's hearts. You know me. You know our church. You know everything we are. There's no manipulation here. God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of our church. God's going to take care of you. But maybe today's the day you say, you know what? I'm getting in this partnership with the Lord. And not only am I going to pay my tithe, I'm going to start doing first fruits. I'm going to start making sure that the very first thing I pay is to the Lord. And then some of you might get to where you want to pay more than 10. You want to pay more than 20. You want to pay more than 30. The man Colgate that owned the Colgate company, by the time he died, he was not tithing 90% of his income. And we all say, oh, man, I wish I could do that. Well, you won't because you didn't do 10. The most people, I say this every time I preach on money, it's the truth. You say, man, if I got $1 million, I'd tithe. No, you wouldn't, because you don't tithe on 10. Do you understand that? If God puts $1 million, God, I'll give you 100. He says, no, you won't. You don't give me a dollar out of $10. If you're not faithful in the little, he can't trust you with much. So there's no manipulation. This is God's word. Every verse I've read here is God's word. But he keeps good books. Malachi chapter 3. Most people think Malachi 3, and all I think of is tithing. Watch this. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord. Does anybody fear the Lord in here? I feared him even more this morning with them lightnings. I tell him every morning, Lord, I revere you, I respect you, and I fear you. But today I said, Lord, I extra fear you today with them lightnings flashing and those thunders. You hear God rumble. And then those who fear the Lord, this is a future event. Because remember, we're all going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for what we've done. Not for salvation, not to heaven or hell, but for reward. I want to be rewarded. There's nothing selfish about that, because I want to put that crown back at God's feet. And it says, and the Lord listened and heard them, and so a book of remembrance was written before him. There is a book that God has. And when we do the right thing, he writes it down. And it says, for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. Is anybody thankful that when you do something wrong, he doesn't write it down, because we confess it? And he says, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. He says, they shall be mine. I want God to call me his. They shall be mine on the day that I will make them my jewels. I want to be God's jewel. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who doesn't serve God. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to trust you. Lord, with what your word says is one of the most important things I can trust you with, my increase. God, whether we make a little or we make a lot, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I honor you with what I have, that I glorify you with what I have. And Lord, that if I understand the principle of tithing and giving and generosity and first fruits and obedience, you can open doors no man can open and shut doors that needs to be shut in my life. Father, as people are here across this place with so many different backgrounds and thoughts and thinking, Lord, I feel so bad for those people, Lord, not only in this church today, but just people around the world who've been hurt by wrong actions by people, by manipulation. And I pray that you could save their hearts and get them back in the right understanding that you are a good God, a faithful God, and a loving God. And Lord, we don't do this, as David said earlier at the prayer, we don't do this out of compulsion. We do this because we love you and because we understand God's economy. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in just a few minutes, we're going to pray for some things at the altar that I know God's going to do some amazing things. But right now, how many in this place could say, you know, I don't know Jesus? I can almost read the cloud above some of you saying, man, ain't nobody going to get saved today because he talked about money. I used to think the same thing. I remember being in our first building on Londonderry, and we had about 30 people. And God told me, preach on finances today. And about 10 of our 30 people were the women's track team from UNT. I said, God, I can't speak on money today. These girls ain't got no money. He said, do what I said. And I preached on tithes and finances, and 7 of those 10 girls got saved that morning on a financial message. It don't matter what message is preached. The gospel is preached. Jesus is preached. And right now, he wants to be the Lord, not just of your finances, but he wants to be the Lord of your heart. How many in this place today, all over this place, could say today, Pastor, I need you to pray with me. I'm not saved. Jesus is not the Lord of my life, and I want to be born again today. I want my life to change. I want to be forgiven of all my sins. Just put up your hand and put it right back down. I want to pray with you all over this place. How many honest hearts would say, that's me? I'm going to wait just a moment. If you don't raise your hand, I have to believe and trust that you know Jesus, and I hope you do. But we're always going to give a chance for someone to get saved. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He took your place. The Bible says that one day we'll all stand before God. And he'll say, what do you have to say for your life? And there's nothing we'll be able to say that's going to work except the name of Jesus. We were talking about this yesterday at our house with passwords. You know, you have to have a password for everything. And when you have the wrong password, you can't get into something. Well, guess what? Jesus is the password. He's the only way to heaven this morning. If you put your faith in him, when you get to heaven, God will say, come on in. But if you try to get into heaven on anything else but Jesus, it'll say wrong password. and you won't be able to get in. But today, all you got to do is say, I believe Jesus took my place. Admit I am a sinner and I want to be saved. How many more today as we move on would just say, that's me? Maybe you're here and you know the Lord. You've accepted the Lord. You believe in the Lord. But if you're honest, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to deal with God today. I want you to talk to God. You're not living the life God wants you to live. You're not pleasing Him. You're not walking in obedience. I challenge you today to get your life right with God, because time is short. As we stand all across this place today, stay in reverence to the Lord. Please don't shut me off. It's early. We're going to take a few minutes here at the altar. If you raised your hand, and we're going to, I know there's people watching right now that are going to give their lives to the Lord on this podcast. We're thankful that God has blessed us to be able to reach people outside of these four walls and preach the truth. Is anybody thankful for the truth this morning? Anybody thankful that we're in a place where we preach what God's word says and there's no manipulation? Amen. Just honesty, integrity, and the truth. The truth will set you free. Amen. If you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't and you want to get saved today, find that nearest aisle real quick. Step out of your seat and come down here. Come on. Several hands went up. Come on. I'm going to wait just a moment. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know, I need to go right now. I need to go down there and give my life to Jesus. Come on, if you've never done that before, if you've never made a public confession, I can't make you come, but I think it's important. Amen. Let's say this prayer together this morning. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I fall short of your glory. I need forgiveness. Today I admit I need a change. I admit that you took my place on that cross and died for me. And then you rose from the dead and defeated death, hell, and the grave. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and wash me clean this morning. Make me a new person, and please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And from this day forward, I'm going to serve you. Change me today. Transform me. And devil, I no longer belong to you. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.